This is a professional show. We're doing a show now. You gotta stop laughing.
Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of Lunatic Fringe Radio, the only reactionary podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Arich, and here I've got with me Ryan Falk.
Yes. Hello.
California. Yeah. And we've got Stanley Tweedle, a.k.a. Asymmetrical Warfare.
Cheers.
So, shouldn't surprise anybody, the big thing we're going to be talking about this episode is George Zimmerman, the court case that's going to be upcoming soon. But first, there's something I spotted in the news that I think it's somewhat relevant to the conversation we're going to be having. It's Bill 1813 that's going through, I believe it's going through the Senate right now. And this bill is to authorize the IRS of seizing your passport if they make an indictment against you.
Hmm.
An indictment, as I understand it, you know, again, I am not a lawyer, but an indictment from the IRS is business as usual. They don't have to prove that you owe them any money. It completely bypasses the court system. No judge has to authorize it. And it's fairly common if you run your own business, if you have complex finances, if you're not just a wage slave, fairly common for them to issue an indictment because that's the first step of the whole process of getting your money. And so now when they issue an indictment, they'll be able to take away your passport as well, which, you know, again, not a constitutional scholar, but does seem to go against the freedom of movement that America supposedly loves.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think it's just another example.
Are you looking for some pushback here?
I think the IRS should be able to sell your organs for meat.
Yes.
No, yeah, I think we agree.
Well, I'll tell you the reason. I'll get to it in a sec. The other bit of news is Zimmerman's lawyer has requested a new attorney. Zimmerman originally had...
A new judge, you mean.
Or, yes, a new judge. The attorney has requested a new judge. Originally, Zimmerman was being represented by a traffic court lawyer and a drunk driving lawyer, I believe. Neither of them had experience with criminal, like, violent crime cases. Neither had experience with...
Was that the guy who was on Fox News or on the news channel?
O'Mara.
Was that the guy on the TV show who said some stupid things?
The new one or the old one?
The old one.
Oh, the old ones had a news conference when they decided to quit being his lawyers.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they did say, as I recall, some vaguely stupid things, but they're no longer his attorneys, so.
Right, so it doesn't matter.
One of the things they said is that they don't think Zimmerman should be speaking to the media.
Mm-hmm.
When in a case like this, he absolutely should be.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
He's already been tried and convicted in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, need to get out. Although I will say that the public opinion has shifted a little bit in Zimmerman's favor. I believe there was something from Rasmussen that actually said that. There went from like something like 15% thought he was innocent to now it's like 24%, and whereas like 35% think he's guilty, and then everyone else is like no opinion. So he's made
it. That's the blogosphere, the YouTubers, getting the actual facts and broadcasting them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I don't know if it's necessarily broadcast or bloggers or YouTube. It seems to be just – I had this experience at work the other day. Someone brought up the case in sort of an offhand way. Oh, did you hear about this? Like it's, you know, not the thing that everyone's screaming and yelling about. And I just pointed out to him, like, you do know that Trayvon Martin wasn't 12. Like, really? Yeah. He was 17, and that picture they keep showing you, that's 5 years out of date, and he had no idea. And I think it's just an accumulation of people noticing that, because I don't think that many people are watching the news on this, or people generally watch the news intensely. They just sort of let it wash over them. And
Well, on the media in general, I would say that social media is a huge part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing facts, sharing information. If you only get your information from TV and newspapers, you'd still think that Zimmerman was a white guy and that Trayvon was 12.
Yeah.
No, I think
I would say the larger point is that people aren't reading these things critically. Go on, Ryan.
Yes.
I'll give you a great example of the social media. Just yesterday, I think, I posted something on Facebook commenting how a questionable shooting by a neighborhood watch captain is national media, but that black security guard in Atlanta that shot three women, killing one, for specifically trying to start a race war. Okay, this guy has said many times that he hates white people, that he wants the race war to happen, and these three shootings were actually racially motivated, and nobody knows about it. And I got a few calls from people.
Nothing. No, I was wondering why the heck is that guy even a security guard if he has, but okay.
Oh, there were even incidents before that. He should have been fired like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know that many details about that case either, but like this is a brutal murder. Like this woman's just walking back from lunch into her office building when one of her security guards shoots her and two others, and I think he stole a car, because they were white and he hates white people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas Zimmerman, worst case scenario, overreacted, acted like a jackass, started a fight, and then freaked out and shot the guy with no decent reason. That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah, it's pretty unlikely that he started the fight. I mean, the guy was shorter than Trayvon. He looked short and kind of tubby. He had lost some weight from before, but he was still kind of tubby. Trayvon was a football player. Like, he wasn't like a linebacker or a lineman, but he was still, I mean.
He's a fit dude.
Well, at any rate, like, we know he has wounds to the back of his head, which means, like, either, I don't know, Trayvon's really sneaky, snuck up behind him and smacked him in the head, or, like, more likely was, you know, what he said he was, smashing his head against concrete. Like, yeah.
At best, it's questionable. Like, if you're going to play devil's advocate, based upon the evidence out there, you're looking at, like, 18 months for manslaughter, something like that, like a real... It's the equivalent of getting into a bar fight and accidentally killing somebody in the bar fight.
That actually raises something I was thinking about. Hypothetical scenario, let's say you're a dictator of the media, and you're a crazy cultural Marxist, and you want to prove that there's a Klansman hiding behind every bush and that white people think of nothing but trying to kill black people. Mm-hmm. Is this the story you choose for that? Is there no other story in America that cannot be better spun?
I'm sure there's not.
Why?
I'm sure there's not. Well, I think what you're getting at is that it's not the media is not centrally planned. Like, it just kind of snowballed.
Well, yeah, but why is this the story that snowballs is what I'm getting at. Why is it the story of, like, you look into Trayvon, he's kind of a thug, but why is it this kid, like, they can't be... You can't find someone who's a little bit of less questionable character.
Well, here's what I think. Okay, I have opinions. Trayvon was under 18. He was 17 when he did this, so he wasn't an adult, right? Mm-hmm. By not being an adult, that opened up the ability for them to use other photos of him from when he was younger. Whereas if, say, Trayvon was, I don't know, 25.
Or 18 and a half,
or anything, you know. But the thing is, he's a minor. He's a minor, right? Whereas Zimmerman is a grown-up. So, yeah, and so they were able to use the really minor, the 12-year-old photo of him, right? And that made it into, like, a tragedy kind of, there you go.
I think this is for proof against the Zionist-controlled media conspiracy. It's not Ted Turner making all the calls and all the shots, but it's a bunch of people that all got brainwashed into the same ideology at university, acting independently. They're not particularly good journalists. So they hear Zimmerman, they hear Trayvon was black and, you know, not an adult. And so instantly they inflate the story, spreads like wildfire. And originally it starts off that it was a racial shooting, that he hates black people. But when it comes out, like, if you talk to a liberal now, they're not claiming that it was racist. They're now just angry about the gun ownership or something.
Or they're claiming it wasn't racially motivated, but it may have been like, well, he may have been profiling on race or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
That was actually my answer, like the profiling thing.
But talk over that fact. You know, like, it started because it was racist, but now that it's not racist, but it has momentum, like the rocket's already launched, so they find different fuel to keep it going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I brought up that 1813.
Stanley had something to say.
Go ahead.
This is Arini's radio show. Do you have a point?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I do think the 17-year-old thing is relevant. But I also think it's exactly what you said. It's profiling, and people are worried about profiling. But let's profile Trayvon for a moment here. According to his Twitter, he barely speaks English, by the fact he's born in America. He's a thug. He's a thief. He was caught with stolen property. I don't think any of us here are really opposed to drugs, but he was caught with drugs, and that's relevant. Suspended from school. Go on.
Pro-drug, but anti-drug dealer.
Yeah. Anyway, but let's, again, profile this person for a moment. This person, let's be honest, kind of a scumbag. He's kind of a scumbag. And I think this is why, I'm not saying, like, you know, white people are running around shooting black people all the time, but why is this story the one that sets off? Why is it? I think it's the cultural Marxist guilt complex, the terror to profile. Like, are you saying that this kid, I've had this problem in my comment section with people, are you saying this kid that's been suspended and does drugs and has been stealing, are you saying that just because of all this stuff he would assault someone for no good reason? Yes, I am saying that. That's very likely that he would probably be the instigator of that assault. It's...
They came up with a list of bullet points that would show a youth is at risk of being arrested for a violent crime. And the majority of these bullet points, like he, you know, breaks the law already, he graffitis, doesn't respect the school, is not involved in school activities.
Right.
And Trayvon, to know he was a football player like 4 years ago, but he dropped out of the team. He was still muscular, but... So, like, he had all these points that would suggest that, yes, this is a kid that's likely to commit violent crimes if somebody doesn't intervene in his life.
Exactly. And, like, that's what I think it is. It's the elephant in the middle of the room, and the screaming and the hysteria is so that no one is called racist for pointing out the elephant in the middle of the room.
Mm-hmm.
This kid is a scumbag.
Or is called racist so that they don't have to see the elephant in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
So we were having Stanley and I were having an argument the other day about how corrupt the court system is. And the affidavit that they've posted to have Zimmerman arrested is absolutely terrible. I was reading Pope Hat was analyzing it. He doesn't have a stance on whether Zimmerman's guilty or not. He does not take a stance there. But he's looking at this affidavit, and as he was explaining, typically in an affidavit, what you want to do is present the evidence and say how you got a hold of it, that Miss Sue Jones gave a testimony to this officer who wrote it down and then submitted it to evidence, is how you're supposed to do it. But this affidavit that got Zimmerman arrested is a joke. They just say that a witness said this. They don't identify the witness. They don't say who recorded it. It's full of holes that doesn't actually show enough probable cause to have him arrested in the first place. The judge should have thrown this out, but of course they went with it. So there is probably some corruption.
And who's the judge?
What that tells me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said prior that the judge was not a good judge and that the Zimmerman lawyer is trying to get a new judge, right?
Exactly. The judge herself is she's pretty for a lawyer. Women tend to have very high levels of testosterone. They're unpleasant people, and they're not as pretty as they have.
Winston Churchill said a woman interested in politics, there's probably something wrong with her sexual organs. I mean, it's not politics,
exactly.
But it's kind of like that. Okay.
Well, exactly. It's the same thing. But nonetheless, she's pretty good looking, and that would suggest to me, just on that alone, I'm ready to assume that she's incompetent. Probably a little bit of a sociopath. Probably buys into this left-wing, you know,
profiling. If you say she's incompetent, that presupposes, like, competent at what? Her job? Or, like, what she was hired to do?
Well, it's like girls in the Army. Half of the girls in the Army are great soldiers. The other half are great at flirting with the higher-ups and making themselves look like good soldiers.
Right. I just think she'd be a great commissar. Sorry. But, yeah.
Yes. So the lawyer, the new lawyer, Mark O'Mara, had already found a conflict of interest as an excuse to get her off the bench. So I think this guy's a very good lawyer. It increases my probability that Zimmerman will be found innocent.
I just wanted to comment on the Was it the indictment you said, or the statement? What was it again?
The affidavit.
The affidavit, right. Sorry about that. Brain freeze. That to me tells me that it was written for television, and I think that's a very bad sign.
Exactly.
There's no reason why a first-year law student couldn't have been consulted, even if the lawyers are that incompetent. Hire a first-year law student to write it properly.
There have been a lot of lawyers in the media criticizing this affidavit as incompetent.
Well, it may have backfired. I'm not saying that it was, you know, smart move. I'm just saying that that's...
That it's a sign that this is a circus.
Yeah, and it's more importantly, it's written for morons that watch Law and Order or CSI and think that's what law enforcement is. You know, most crimes are solved in under 45 minutes. Did you know that?
Well, I think the viewer knows about the time compression thing. I remember I saw an episode of Law. Really?
I have very little faith in people. Go on.
This is off topic. I saw an episode from Law and Order where the guy who I used to like the guy. He does like insurance commercials now. Anyway, there's one guy who's an actor, and he said that one guy was saying that America's history is about has gun ownership all the way back to the very beginning, and the guy repeated this myth saying, "Nuh-uh, at the founding of America, very few people had guns," and that made me just stop listening to the show. I couldn't take him seriously anymore after he said that, because I know that's wrong. I know that's like this myth that's been repeated. Anyway, sorry.
They have more guns than Sweden.
Yeah.
They live in a country full of wild dogs and the occasional angry Indian.
Yeah.
And they didn't have
bears.
That's been debunked. I know. But I'm just saying.
I guess they hunted using their wild empathy.
Bows and arrows and knives.
Third American settler, you get wild empathy, so you can love the bear into letting you eat it. See, what strikes me is that I don't think the internal court process can be that corrupt. Like, they will certainly try and censor evidence. When they try and introduce evidence that, you know, Trayvon was a thug in training, they'll try and say that's not admissible in court. They'll try and do that, yes. But they are stuck by some pretty strong rules. Like, once the machine is turned on, the machine's fairly logical, it's fairly just. What I notice is the...
I'd say it's fairly process-oriented. Just is kind of a value judgment, but okay.
Well, and that's what I was going to get at, is that the way that they corrupt the court system isn't by changing how it works on the inside, but rather changing laws, introducing laws that ban everything so that they can go after whoever they want, because we all commit felonies every day without even realizing it.
Hmm.
And that 1813 thing I brought up, it's a regulation to bypass the court system to take away passports that can be used willy-nilly. If you're just a guy that isn't very good at filing taxes, you know, like whatever, they might take away your passport, but you don't travel anyway. But they can use it to strong-arm you into paying them money that maybe you don't owe. But more importantly, if you are a political figure, if you're a famous person that gets accused of some BS crime, or that if you upset the government, they can use that law to legally take away your passport without due process. I think this is why liberals are so angry about the Stand Your Ground law, because the Stand Your Ground law defines self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And liberals hate self-defense.
They want the ability to prosecute you whenever they feel like it.
More so than that, I think they hate people that not just that. I think they genuinely hate people who act in their own self-defense. It reminds me to switch to my old neocon days for a moment. It reminds me of something that Mark Stein said about anti-war activists. And I know everyone here is anti-war, but think about the anti-war protests when they were going. They're not necessarily anti-war activists. They're I don't want to have to hear about this war activists. They're not really interested in why the war is being fought or who did what. They don't want to hear about it, and they want to shut it up as quickly as possible. And I think that's the same way they look at people who act in their own self-defense. Like that. Oh, there was people dead. That's horrible. Someone must be blamed for this. And, well, we can shut up the person who acted in their own self-defense for far quicker than the thug. The thug will never shut up. So let's go for the easiest path and get people who I think it's a subconscious process, but yeah.
I'd say part of it's also the worship of the Leviathan, that they truly want to completely submit to the state's judgment.
But why, though? I think it's because they have to believe that the state can abolish violence, which, of course, we know is preposterous, but it's oxymoronic.
Was it, you say, Ryan, an act of state is an act of war?
Well, yeah, an act of state is an act of war, because all laws are violently enforced. I don't know, guys. You're kind of psychologizing, and I don't know people worship the state anymore. Like, I think I'm actually of the opinion that that statism, Stefan Molyneux likes to say, that statism is dead. That nobody is a statist anymore. What they are is they're afraid of statelessness. So that's the all I see. And all these things about, you know, as you said, Stanley, in your interactions with this guy who you were talking about Trayvon, he didn't even know that Trayvon was 17 years old. So I think what you guys may be doing is you may be psychologizing, how can these people think this when there are all these facts that they know? But, of course, they don't know. You know, but they don't know. They don't know that the guy's 17. They think he's 12, and that's why they're coming to all these silly conclusions. So that's what I would
think. Yep. Leads to the next direction I wanted to go with this episode. Specifically, your video, Ryan, that got censored from YouTube. Now, what was the reason that it was taken down again?
Something to do with violence. I can find it.
I know I was...
Oh, here it is, here it is, here it is. Here's what it says. It says, this blah, 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 same thing for any account. It says, violent or gory content that appears to be... that appears to posted, oh wow, YouTube actually has bad grammar, okay, appears to posted in a shocking, sensational, or disrespectful manner is not permitted on YouTube. For example, videos showing someone being physically hurt, attacked, or humiliated are not okay. If your video is graphic or disturbing, it can only remain on a site where supported by appropriate educational or documentary information. And of course, I appealed and the appeal was rejected, so the appeal process is bogus. I don't, yeah.
So. Whatever. How does Pieface keep a video on YouTube then? Like, he humiliates himself all the time. Sorry, go on.
I have slipped. I'm going to play that for everybody, particularly if any of you out there don't know all the facts about the Trayvon case. This is a couple weeks out of date, but it's an excellent video.
Wait,
so,
you're playing my video?
Well, yeah, I'm going to play the audio anyway.
okay.
Video.
Okay. All right. I don't like listening to myself, though.
All right. Well, here, just give me a sec, turn off your headphones, and I'll play the clip.
Here are the things that are generally agreed upon. 1. George Zimmerman was following Trayvon Martin, first in his SUV, then on foot. 2. Zimmerman called the police and described Trayvon Martin and claimed that Martin was acting suspiciously and scoping out houses. 3. There was an altercation between George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. 4. Trayvon Martin was shot one time and killed. Some relevant facts, in my judgment. 1. Trayvon Martin was suspended for possession of stolen jewelry and a screwdriver, and for spraying graffiti. 2. 85% of black-white altercations involve blacks as the aggressors. 3. The only person who claims to have seen the altercation, going by the name of John, claimed that Martin attacked Zimmerman. John accurately described the clothing of both Martin and Zimmerman at the time.
Sanford police still trying to figure out exactly what happened in this spot here last night. We talked to a man who didn't want to be shown on camera, who witnessed part of the attack right here, then went upstairs to his window and witnessed the rest of it after he called 911. What are you thinking now about all this?
This afternoon, I talked to John through his front door about what he saw last night during a fight that turned into a deadly shooting.
The guy on the bottom, who I believe had a red sweater on, was yelling to me, "Help, help." I told him to stop, and I was calling 911.
John locked his patio door, ran upstairs, and heard at least one gunshot.
And then when I got upstairs and looked down, the person that was on top beating up the other guy was the one laying in the grass, and I believe he was dead at that point.
4. Zimmerman called the police prior to the event, which resulted in him shooting Trayvon. 5. Trayvon was 6 foot or 6 foot three and 160 pounds. George Zimmerman was 5 foot eight, 170 pounds, contrary to media reports claiming him to be between 260 and 280 pounds. 6. Trayvon Martin played football and had the build of a wide receiver and or a defensive back. 7. The Sanford police report of the event claims Zimmerman was bleeding from the nose and his back was wet and had grass stains. Eight, video evidence of injury on the head of George Zimmerman can be interpreted, but the image is of such poor quality as to be inconclusive. Nine, George Zimmerman was a registered Democrat. He tutored black kids on the weekends for free and is of Jewish, one-quarter Jewish, I believe, and one-half Peruvian ancestry. 10. Zimmerman had said to be on the lookout for blacks who looked like they were from outside the neighborhood. 11. In 2005, Zimmerman was arrested but not convicted of resisting arrest in a sting operation at a bar. Quote, in 2005, Zimmerman was charged with resisting arrest with violence. State alcohol agents said Zimmerman pushed them while they were arresting a friend of his during an underage drinking operation at a bar. Zimmerman avoided a conviction by going into a pretrial program that is offered to people with no prior arrests, close quote. 12. It took the police 2 days to contact Trayvon's family due to difficulties in identifying Trayvon. Trayvon lived in Miami Gardens, 240 miles from Sanford. 13. George Zimmerman was generally liked in the gated community of Twin Lakes, which was roughly 20% black. He was liked enough to be elected neighborhood captain. Response to what I believe is a false claim regarding the call. That George Zimmerman murmured, "fucking coons," during the police call. The Wild Man has an excellent video going over that, showing how fucking punks fits the audio much better than fucking coons.
This drop in audio right here. Now, we can show that in two ways. Right here is where the TH is, these, and this is where the F is, fuck, and there's a drop in audio here as well. These fucking. This is the K, CK right here. These fucking. Okay, simple as that. So you, but pay attention mostly to this right here. There's a drop in audio when he says that. When you say those words, when you say punks, you get a drop in audio between the P U N and the K S. The K S will sound like a crash cymbal being muffled quickly after it gets hit with the drumstick. Kss, kss. This is the these, fucking, just like that, drop in audio, just like this, drop in audio. Here's coons. These fucking coons. A nice solid wave with a bit of a stronger density here for the S. These fucking coons. These fucking coons. These fucking coons. These fucking punks. These fucking coons. These fucking punks. These
fucking coons. And anyone who gets coons out of that are clearly searching for something in the audio that isn't there. Also, which is more likely, that George Zimmerman, a Democrat black kid tutorer, would call a black kid a coon while on a police call, or that he would be complaining about the phone? Moreover, how many people even say coons anymore? if Zimmerman was saying something about negative about blacks, wouldn't he be more likely to say niggers? My opinion. There are two general narratives regarding this instance. One is that George Zimmerman chased Trayvon Martin, attacked Trayvon, and then shot Trayvon. This is unlikely since the police reports made no evidence of cuts or bruises on Trayvon aside from the gunshot that killed him. This is also unlikely since Trayvon was a black football player, probably a wide receiver and or a cornerback and or a safety, meaning Trayvon was probably very fast and probably much faster than George Zimmerman. But let's say that George Zimmerman, this 28-year-old, 5'8", 170-pound, half-Latino, could outrun the 17-year-old, 6-foot, 160-pound black football player. Okay, let's just say, suspend disbelief and say he could do that. We are then to believe that he ran Trayvon down, tried to beat Trayvon up, but clearly did a poor job, as given the lack of bruises on Trayvon, aside from the gunshot, and then he shot Trayvon. But at the same time, we are to believe the witnesses who claim that they heard the whimperings of a little boy, the whimperings of Trayvon crying out for help, despite Trayvon not having any bruises on him, aside from the gunshot. Okay, so let's listen to an actual audio where you can actually hear someone screaming for help.
911, do you need police, fire, medical?
Maybe both, I'm not sure. There's just someone screaming outside.
Okay, what's the address that they're near? Okay, and is it a male or a female?
It sounds like a male.
And you don't know why?
I don't know why. I think they're yelling help, but I don't know. Just send someone quick. Say, stop.
Okay, does he look hurt?
I can't see him. I don't want to go out there. I don't know what's going on. So they're sending.
So you think he's yelling help?
Yes.
All right, what is your
phone number? Just gunshots.
Is that I feel it was not self-defense because I heard the crying, and if it was Zimmerman that was crying, Zimmerman would have continued crying after the shot went off.
Not if he was crying out for help, you stupid bitch. And, of course, before Zimmerman did all this, ran Trayvon down, tried to beat Trayvon up, but failed to, and then shot Trayvon. Before he did all this, he called the police. And the witness, John, was either lying or mistaken about what he saw as to who attacked who. In my opinion, this scenario with Zimmerman as the aggressor is a joke. And people believe this despite either knowing the facts or don't bother to become acquainted with the facts because of their racism, in my opinion. Trayvon is black, and Zimmerman is supposed to be the stand-in for the white guy. Okay? The marches and protests over this killing and the rush to judgment that Zimmerman is a racist murderer are fueled by anti-white racism on the part of blacks, Amerindians, and degenerate whites, in my opinion, and in generalization. I know not everyone is like this, right? But this is my opinion, my opinionated generalization. And in my opinionated generalization, I believe this is similar to the Duke LaCrosse hoax. And the fact that news outlets and bloggers repeating this continue to dishonestly portray Trayvon as a small child using an old obsolete photo and irrelevant photos of Trayvon when he was, 12 and 13 as opposed to when he was 17, right? And in fact, even photoshopped an image to make Trayvon appear more childlike is evidence in the media of a general attempt to sensationalize events.
So that was the video. Certainly you don't see the video component of that video, but as I recall, Ryan, you didn't have any violent maiming in that, did you?
No violent maiming. Not at all. Those flashbacks.
And you said something to me that really struck out, the chilling effect of censorship. Because what is censored censored is you literally don't see it. You don't know that it was censored.
Yeah, you don't know that it was censored, and people don't post those kinds of things because they know they'll get banned for posting those kinds of things. So what ends up happening is that people have walking around kind of with this illusion that they're getting all these views, that they're getting all these alternative views when they're not. And then they can look and they can say, well, I don't see any censorship. Well, of course, what exists is the potential for censorship and people not behaving in a certain way because of what would happen if they behaved in that way. And to go kind of off topic here, that's kind of how, people not seeing the violence of the state because they, people pay their taxes. You don't see masses of people resisting the IRS.
You only see the result, the very, very rare occasion of the lunatics do.
Yeah, and they get, like, Waco. They get burned up.
You kept bringing up the IRS and the them seizing your passport. I just wanted to point this out to the audience, kind of off topic. It's my favorite law, not because I like it, just because it's so, yeah, that's a state for you. It's called the GAR rule or General Anti-Avoidance Rule. If you study Canadian tax law, essentially Canada Revenue Agency, even if you prepare your tax return perfectly, you do everything that is within the law, within the Canadian tax code, which I guarantee you no one person has ever read entirely, and they keep changing it. Even if you manage to put everything in order and Canada Revenue Agency is not satisfied with their tribute, they can say, fuck you, you're paying this much. Look it up, GAAR, General Anti-Avoidance Rule. Yeah, that's the Canadian state.
I also want to point out,
it should be called vague and arbitrary anti-avoidance.
Exactly. Well, actually, Canadian law and I think British law in general is quite a bit vaguer and then rests more on quote-unquote reasonableness than United States.
Well, that's pretty bad. That's no good.
Well, and I would just like to point out that Revenue Canada is nowhere near as brutal as the IRS. Any state that boots the United States very quickly realizes you do not fuck with the IRS. With Revenue Canada, they can't put you in prison for whatever. IRS can put you in prison at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
And so we have an insane law like this. I can just imagine what's on the IRS books.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't even know if it's something that's specifically on the IRS books. I don't know. Maybe for whatever reason, it might be a different podcast, like why the Canadian state. That it does have crazier laws on the books than the United States, just doesn't exercise them as much.
Yeah, I think what you maybe look at the difference between the IRS and Revenue Canada, is that what it's called? Okay. Is just the stringentness of enforcement in the U.S., whereas in Canada, not so much.
Right.
Yeah, the Revenue Canada does not have access to guns.
Yeah, one thing I would hypothesize here is that, for example, in California, as the financial system in California starts to collapse, you've seen municipalities going bankrupt and then not being to pay the police, and so they just don't have police. The street lights are just flashing, which means you treat them as stop signs. So,
right.
So you have these municipalities that are just breaking down. And what's happening as a result is that the taxes at the state level are getting more and more stringent. The cops are towing at the drop of a hat because they know they get a bunch of money from people to get their car unimpounded. So they're towing a lot more. They're ticketing a lot more. The accountants at Sacramento are getting more and more creative in terms of finding back taxes or things that they think you should have paid. And, of course, the thing is like even if the charge is totally bogus and what you owe them, fighting it is extremely expensive, and they know that, and that's why they're doing that. And so, yeah. So I'm thinking that the situation in Canada may be such that they don't have to use the stick as much because you're more well-behaved.
I saw statistics at one point saying that the U.S. dollar is only worth about 30% of what it's trading for, based on, like, how many are printed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canadian dollar, we're at 70% of the trade value based on how many are printed.
Yeah.
Which is a subjective, obviously. The dollar's worth whatever people believe it's worth.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not entirely sure what you meant exactly by better behaved, but just like if it's like debt ratios and how indebted the states are, I think I'd agree. Like, it's been a while since I've looked it up, but how much debt? And this is something that the listener can do very easily. Just go into Wikipedia, look up Canada's federal debt or even the provincial debt, and divide by the population, and do that for the United States.
Short rule of thumb: we have 10% of the population of the states. Give or take.
Yeah. Short rule of thumb, 10% of the population. Well, okay. Spend the extra 12 seconds and actually look that up. I know the United States is, last time I remember, it was something it was about 10 years ago. I remember it was something like 50,000 federal, 50,000 per person federal debt, United States. I think it's actually 70,000 now or something. Canada, it's like 15,000, which is still high and it's a problem, but.
No, it's not pretty devastating. No,
yeah, it's not the house on fire, we're all going to die kind of problem. But
it's a kitchen fire.
I actually made, when I was still a statist, and I was still trying to, like, I was coming apart at the seams trying to make the state work. I was thinking, just toying with the notion of, well, if this is the tax that we have to live with, we have to find a way to actually bring this down. Why don't you just download this onto the citizenry? Like, the federal government presents you a bill, like, okay, this is the debt we've run up. Now actually vote responsibly, because this is what, of course it doesn't work, but it's going to have to happen eventually if the state wants to survive.
Yeah. You know what I think is interesting about that?
Well, part.
You know what I think is interesting about the national debt in the United States is what it does is it suddenly makes, like, people are afraid of secession. One, because the Confederacy and racism. Another, because it's something new. Like, people don't like change, and they don't like change. Right, it's scary. It's scary. Now, but the thing is, though, if you secede in the United States, technically the 50 states are sovereign and can secede at any time and can become their own countries. Now, practically speaking, that's not the case, but technically they are sovereign. And if a state secedes from the Union, they are out of the purview of the United States federal government. All those debts that the federal government has, they belong to the federal government. And so if the debt keeps going up, secession becomes more and more attractive.
Yeah, I really do expect to see a lot less stars on the United States flag in the not-too-distant future. I'm more apocalyptic than probably everyone here.
I'd like to go back to the censorship.
Okay.
Because
let's get back to the point.
Yeah.
That's another podcast.
The ship itself is almost completely on the right wing, whereas you, like the three of us, we worry about censorship. I worry about getting reported to the Human Rights Tribunal for my blog. We worry about that. But look at Dawa Films. Now, Dawa Films is a Muslim on YouTube who's been arguing with Thunderfoot, who's one of the better atheist cults out there. And Thunderfoot is unapologetic about criticizing Islam for being violent, for being brutal towards women. And Dawa Films is a Muslim.
I'd also say, and much crazier than Christianity.
Yes, Christianity is...
Born dad.
Yeah. Dawa Films has actually made death threats against Thunderfoot. Not specific death threats, but threats along the lines of, if you keep forcing your evil Western violence on people, somebody will introduce you to the God you wish you knew. I believe Doc organized a Muslim cleric to issue a fatwa against Thunderfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Didn't he Doc drop him also?
Yes, he Doc dropped him.
Yeah. And in fairness, I've only issued death threats against the people that canceled Firefly. Yeah, obviously.
But this is precisely it. This is actual violence. This is even Doc dropping somebody, trying to ruin their life, trying to get them fired, is, I think that might be a suitable reason for banning somebody from YouTube.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you're attacking a media person for saying something in the media and then trying to get them fired for whatever. No, you're trying to get somebody fired from their job at the Photoshop, you know, the photo hut, because they said something you don't like on the internet.
Also, posting private information out there, like your real first name and address, as internet personalities that we are, we know there are a lot of crazies out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A lot of crazies.
And so that's actually threatening somebody physically. And Thunderfoot had had a bunch of his videos taken down because there's this whole, like, the Muslims are so angry at Thunderfoot. Dawah has a whole bunch of recruits that help him out. And, you know, I have yet to have a video taken down. I'm sure it's coming soon. But you've both had videos taken down.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
exclusively a censorship of the right wing
yep.
that we see.
Well, it's not exclusive, but it's heavily stacked. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember being on the left and gone.
What videos got you gone?
Oh God, most of it was actually personal stuff, like personal drama. Someone was flagging me.
Because you were calling someone a
yeah.
poopy butt. Okay.
Yeah, and they got really pissed off about it, and so they flagged me.
Hey guys, I found a thing. List of countries by public debt. And we can see Zimbabwe, their debt is their public debt, 230.8% of GDP, and the United States is 103%, Canada is 83.5%, so Canada is not that much better off, but they're both... I don't know, let's see. Well, there's Wikipedia, it does CIA and IMF, and Eurostat.
I'll tell you that our Conservative Party in Canada has just skyrocketed the debt levels.
Cool.
Yeah. We weren't so bad 5 years ago, but they're really getting us into debt.
I don't know. But this is just what Wikipedia says. That's
interesting. Probably fairly up to date in that case.
Yeah. I'm interested in just seeing how Zimbabwe is only about twice as high as the U.S., and that Japan is so high. That's what surprised me. Well, according to the CIA. Well, according to the IMF, there's a lot of difference. There's a lot of discrepancy between the IMF and...
Now by public... again, it's as a percentage of GDP.
Yeah.
It'd be another interesting metric to divide it by population.
Well, percentage of GDP...
Actually, no, I think...
You could do that pretty
easily. Yeah, product. You know what? It's how valuable your population is.
That's true.
Yeah, so you could take the per capita. Basically, in Japan, you know, it's about twice as much as what the average person earns in a year. Mm-hmm. That's how much their government is in debt per person.
Yeah, so work for 2 years and get nothing. Spend no money, and then we'll be back to broke.
That's what the governments could do. Just have, you know what, 2 years, no government. You're just saying. Or maybe, yeah.
He graphed, like, up until the 50s, GDP.
Oh, and 100% tax rate, yeah. Okay, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
GDP growth up until the 50s it averaged at 4%. And ever since the 50s, with the massive growth of government that we've had, GDP has dropped to something like a 2% growth rate.
Mm-hmm.
And using these numbers, he calculated what the average income would be if we hadn't grown government. Instead of $45,000 in the United States, it would be $100,000 of equivalent wealth.
And this is because of compound interest.
Compound growth. But
compound growth. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Same idea.
Compounding investment.
Yeah, I'm just thinking percenting. Yeah.
So we are half as wealthy as we would be if we hadn't had the welfare state forced upon us.
Yeah. Well, it actually reminds me, Mark Stein in America Alone had a, not in America Alone, After America. Both are great books, by the way. Read them. He has a passage where he talks about this time traveler from 1890. He jumps in a time machine and he goes to 1950. Now, people, just close your eyes and imagine the shock of someone from 1890 seeing 1950. Now, imagine the same kind of shock of someone going from 1950 to 2010. It's really not that shocking.
Yep. They see cars.
Okay, we have the computer and we have the internet. Yeah.
Fine technology, but we really haven't innovated anything new.
Yeah. Like what great diseases have been destroyed since 1950?
Polio.
A couple, but it's slowed down.
Polio.
Was that since 1950? I thought polio was in the 40s.
Well, so it's 1950. That's still the early part of the shift.
Yeah.
How many diseases did we destroy between 1900
and 1900? When was smallpox eradicated?
30, I think. Although I really don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was more recent than that. Wikipedia, smallpox, history, eradication, blah, 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 blah. Something. By the end of 1975, smallpox only existed in the Horn of Africa. The last major European outbreak of smallpox was in 1972 in Yugoslavia. So yeah, smallpox. That was
right. Savage countries.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we just did all the.
Anyway, the point. I think the point still stands, though, that not much was done since the 1950s compared to prior to that. But one could argue that
much slowing down.
Right. Well, one could argue that between 1890 and 1950, they were grabbing the low-lying fruit, and that is getting. But and the things are getting.
Except throughout history, see, there's this myth that the Dark Ages were a time of savagery, when actually there was a huge amount of innovation, of technological development, of invention going on at the time. The reason they're the Dark Ages is because with the complete collapse of civilization, there was very little recording of history going down. People were too busy trying to live and survive to write down history. They were burning libraries as opposed to writing books. But there was a great deal of innovation going on during that time. In fact,
More importantly, it was a big dip in the power of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And for Christian authors writing centuries later, that was considered horror shows.
Exactly. It didn't reflect, of course there's going to be a slowdown when the people that build the infrastructure disappear all of a sudden.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a slowdown for things, but it wasn't as brutal as you might think, as most people think. Things were getting better for the most part during that time.
Uh-huh.
It's been a historical trend that technological growth accelerates, whereas we're in a position today where we have to address artificial intelligence significantly beyond where it was in 1970.
1970?
We have technology significantly beyond 1970.
Right.
Have not significantly. And so this is just another example of that, you know, the slowing GDP growth,
mm-hmm.
slowing wealth, slowing technological innovation.
Okay, well, here's something from Wikipedia. He's talking about the from following derived from Encyclopedia Britannica 1961, and this talks about the life expectancy at various points of time. Oh, crap, my links aren't going through on Skype. I'm going to have to YouTube this, you guys. Sorry about that. Anyway, keep talking. Don't mind me.
Russ has the most broken Skype in the world. Segue to the elephant in the room. More and more people are beginning to admit this. It's even being mentioned in some mainstream sources that there's distinct flavors of race war, this whole thing. But I'd specifically like to segue on the topic of censorship, the chilling effect that we don't know what we don't know. There's no unknowns and unknown unknowns. And so one argument I did hear was that blacks in Florida, actually aren't that angry about Trayvon. The media is giving us one perspective. They're giving us one black voice, the outraged black voice, but that your typical, it's not a Joe Sixpack, it's a Joe Eightball. Your typical Joe Eightball is rather open to new information. But the other side of that argument is that, blacks are the least literate group in the United States.
Here's what I'm thinking when you're talking about the outrage thingy is that people who aren't outraged don't make the news. People who outrage and protest, they make news. So they're going to be seen. The noisy people are seen. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on the opposite, it's not just that, but also if there are blacks that support Zimmerman, they're
not going to be on the news at all.
Exactly. But the problem I see with that, and I believe that was brought up on Half Stigma's blog, or it could be Gucci Little Piggy's blog, glpiggy.net, I think. The problem I see with that is as the least literate group with the lowest internet connectivity, blacks do tend to get all of their information from the news media.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
So I would expect that a white person is going to be far more informed about the actual facts rather than the manipulated narrative delivered by TV media.
Just to be really cynical here, that assumes they're watching TV and watching the news. That assumes they're watching the news. That's just being ultra cynical.
You know what? If there's black teenagers yelling "this is for Trayvon" when they assault somebody, then...
Well, you know what it actually might be? It might be someone's watching the news and then just someone tells them about Trayvon. They don't bother even watching the news, much less looking it up online, and then just assault people.
And you go, hey, I want to assault someone. Trayvon! Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. Like, I have a lower opinion of humanity than even that. Like, they actually think, someone said that Trayvon was like a 12-year-old that got shot in the face by an evil white guy. Well, then, that's going to make me want to assault someone. am I going to bother to check this up before I assault someone? No. That sounds like work.
And I heard this from a reliable source. My friend Laquisha. My friend Latrine.
Yeah, I don't feel like to do a search feed.
It's evil because I'm so using that.
I guarantee there's people named that.
Dude, there was this Planned Parenthood guy who worked for Planned Parenthood, and he would get black single mothers who wanted to name their kids, their daughters, Latrine, and he'd have to convince them not to. Tell them what a latrine was.
Oh, God.
Wonderful world that we live in.
Yeah. Actually, there's also a part in Freakonomics, which is like popcorn book, but like one segment of it is talking about he was analyzing whether like a child's name has an impact in their life,
mm-hmm.
and like, there's this guy who decided, well, a black guy, he was going to name his first son Winner. He of course turned out to be a crackhead and a total fucking piece of shit. He named his next son Loser. Yeah, he wound up being a cop.
Did he keep his name?
He shortened it to Lou.
Oh, okay. Lou.
But legally his name is still Loser. Like, thanks, Dad. You could have just had an abortion, you know.
It reminds me of the Trayvon Martin family. What are they copywriting? They're copywriting... like the phrase
"justice for Trayvon."
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's funny. That
yeah.
reminds
just
me.
To
of
get
that.
Real, for, just to get real for a moment. I love my mom, and if I get a hangnail, my mom loses her shit. Like I cannot picture my mother doing this under any circumstances. Like I think if I was actually shot by an evil white guy, she'd be locked in a padded cell for quite some time. Like. At what point does it come into your mind to trademark "justice for Trayvon"? I had an argument with someone on Facebook about this. At what point does it come into your mind to justify this behavior?
I don't know.
It's
pretty cynical.
It's extremely cynical, but just shows you the power of the ideology where someone can be nakedly profiting from their son's death, and no one points out how creepy that is.
Well, a few people.
Sketchy that.
I think I saw that from. That from Pajama Media, which is a pretty big.
Oh, okay. And all right. Like, I should qualify that. Nobody on Trayvon's side recognizes that. That's
okay. Here's the problem. Like, I don't. Like, we talk about like this isn't being covered by the mainstream media, but the failed state media, and I'm like, I don't know because I don't watch. Those news shows, because I don't find them very informative. They're not very useful. So I don't watch them, so I don't know what's on TV. But the problem is, knowing what's on TV is important in and of itself because that's what other people are watching. So the fact that something is on TV is in and of itself newsworthy, right? So.
See, I approach the whole thing like archaeology. I don't often watch TV or read newspapers for the exact same reason you mentioned. They tend to make you more ignorant if you read too many of them. But I'll occasionally delve into it. And it's not that they're lying via the lying. It's that they always structure the narrative in a certain way. They use specific words to convey an emotion, which, if you just look at the naked facts, is not accurate. Like tonight, I'm actually going to be, I'm going to a Q&A with my MPP, and I'm going to try and, see, I'm going to structure a question for him where it sounds like I'm asking something, but really I'm trying to get him to say something else. Mm-hmm. It's extremely manipulative, tricky language to, like when you're interviewing a politician, you don't actually ask them on the policies.
Yeah.
Right.
You ask them, for instance, Peter Mansbridge had an interview with our prime minister, and he wasn't trying to get any information. He was trying to see the man's character. So he asked him about something that our prime minister is very passionate about, but knows that he can't pass in legislature. And you just saw the demon horns coming out of this evil, psychopathic man. And then he asked him about hockey, and he calmed down and said, you know, Daddy is happy that you're having polite dinner table conversation. Daddy demands polite dinner table conversation. And so that's a tricky use of politicians, because they'll lie through their teeth about everything. But I see the media using this more. They softball the questions to the politicians, to the cops, to the prosecutors. But then they use the tricky language to manipulate the public.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to bring up, this is another podcast, but do you actually think Stephen Harper's a sociopath? Short answer on that one?
Short answer, absolutely. Yes,
okay.
Completely.
Okay.
Which, you know what, doesn't necessarily mean that he's a bad prime minister, but yeah, so that's a whole other podcast. Maybe when there's an election in Canada, we can do something on that.
Yeah. Anyway,
the History Channel is a bad channel, I've decided that. I used to think that
the Hitler channel?
It's not the Hitler channel anymore. Well, they talk about World War II, and like when I was little, I loved it. Then I started reading a bit more, and I thought that they were more good than bad. Now I think they're more bad than good. That's all. Okay.
Yeah. Just now?
It's entertainment. This is modern culture of entertainment.
Not just now, but we were talking.
I remember years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and I was still an atheist cult. Like we had a spat over that one. Like that's a funny story, but not for now. Anyway, but on the manipulative language thing, it actually reminds me of something Irini was saying in that question video I did with him about Noam Chomsky, the linguist that uses deliberately deceptive language. And I was thinking about, and this really did anger me. I was at work a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the. I saw a newscast on Zimmerman, and the headline was, Zimmerman accused of shooting Trayvon. Like, no, he shot Trayvon.
Oh,
we know
so
he shot
guilty.
Trayvon.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it. It put that into the mind of people. He's accused of shooting this person.
Did he?
Oh,
yes.
He did shoot that person? Well, he must be guilty. Yeah, exactly.
It's a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think is going to happen this summer? We've had, I don't know what you want to call them, flash mobs, mahogany mobs. They've been getting bigger and more violent over the past few years. They really surfaced last year as something that the blogosphere is talking about, although you'll only see them reported locally. There's never any connections drawn between what happens in one city and another, even though it's the exact same pattern. Only the blogosphere is connecting these dots. Do you see the Zimmerman trial influencing these?
Oh, you mean like kind of the Rodney King thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. Well, the thing is, I think, this is a prediction. I'm making a prediction, and this can be wrong. I think that there's going to be flash mobs, riots, I don't know. But with the Internet, with the Internet, mobs can coordinate better than they could in the past. So I'm thinking that it'll be a much longer, more extended kind of thing than occurred with the Rodney King verdict, whereas Rodney King was kind of, you know, flared up and it was really big, whereas I think following the Zimmerman thing, it's going to be more protracted. Yeah.
Do you think they'll be found innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
Now, I was actually just thinking about, like, the reaction if he's found guilty. But, yeah, I never really considered if he's found innocent, that probably would lead to...
Well, that's what I'm assuming. Because, well, I'm thinking about the Duke... Well, think about the Duke Lacrosse thing. Like all the facts were in favor of the white guys, and you had all these mobs. You even had all the professors sign a note saying that they were not going to stand for this racism and this race hatred, blah, 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 blah. And calling and not calling the accused, not saying that they're guilty and they're racist, but like implying it and talking as if they were, and of course they never bothered to retract that this public statement that like I don't know how many professors it was over 80 professors that signed this statement and they never retracted.
Majority of professors that.
Yeah. Yeah, kids, don't go to university. It's not worth it.
Well,
if you're gonna go for something that's actually useful.
Go
find practical stuff.
Yeah, go if
you're going to be interviewing passing capitalism, so let's hold off on that. Although I will just bring up briefly, Obama did pass into legislation a bill that said any person accused of sexual assault is kicked out of university now.
Hmm.
Which means
passed?
Yeah, he passed. You know what? I'll look up the information for next time,
That is ridiculous. Accused and you're out.
Yeah.
So basically no sex in college. Basically don't even talk to girls in college.
No. Accused and you're out. You don't have to talk to girls to be accused.
Wait, let me correct myself. It's not accused, but it's if you're found guilty, not beyond a reasonable doubt, but by 51%. So they treat it as a civil matter. So there's been some cases of men that weren't even charged by the cops. The cops looked into it, said there's not enough evidence to even charge him, drop the case. But the student body that judged him
Held
him 51% likely to have committed it. So he was kicked out of college.
Yeah, we've had that problem at our university, the non-academic misconduct policy, they called it. It's essentially just go. It's fun to go to a university or a protest and just see the profoundly stupid people you'll see there. And I don't just mean like failure of basic education, although that's present too. I distinctly remember having to tutor someone in how to draw a graph. They made it into a business administration program. They could not understand the concept of a graph.
Well, what do you mean?
And they're taking economics.
What kind of graph?
Like a bar graph, line graph, any kind of graph made no sense to them.
Wow.
And I wonder why we're in a housing crisis.
Yeah.
Well, that's the diversity recession. But well, you know, it was giving loans to brown people who should never have gotten those loans. The Community Reinvestment Act was not explicitly race based, but it was. It was poor people based. Give loans to poor people. Poor people are, and the perception was that this was a way to combat the racism of the banks, and you know. And I hate the banks. I mean, the banks are really bad,
corrupt
institutions in the U.S. But I don't think they're anything bad. But.
And let's just emphasize, because again, this is not brought up enough. Clinton wrote that bill.
The Community Reinvestment Act.
Yes, it was during the Clinton administration.
Okay.
So Bush was an idiot, yes, but the Clinton administration precipitated the housing crisis.
Mm. Well, I think Bush was pretty much on board with it, because...
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't get Bush off the hook. Yeah, it's funny thinking about George Bush. Like when you think about it, what did George Bush do as president? Well, he... started wars in Afghanistan and Iraq in order to spread democracy to brown people around the world, okay? He expanded Medicare. He increased and I think Medicaid or whatever. He expanded some medical stuff for old people. He was pretty, you know, lax on borders, and he supported a guest workers program. He did the No Child Left Behind. Total government spending domestically rose under Bush all his years. He did not cut domestic spending, of course, military spending. So I'm thinking, why and people like look at Bush like he's some sort of winger. I find that incredibly odd, that the legacy of Bush.
Because he hangs around at a ranch.
Oh, right, in a cowboy hat.
Thinker.
In a cowboy
hat. Yeah, he wears a cowboy hat.
Oh,
oil hangs around at a ranch. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, to an emotive thinker, that's all that matters, not, like, numbers.
I will give the Tea Party credit for calling out Bush after Obama got elected.
Yeah.
They're no longer worshiping him. But at the same time, they refuse to even budge on Medicare, which is, you know, one of the big entitlement programs in the United States.
So what do you expect? A lot of old people in the Tea Party.
Exactly. So they're not villains, but they're certainly not heroes either.
Yeah.
All right. Next topic on our team card. What is your favorite color?
I'm looking forward to seeing Occupy Wall Street run into the mahogany mob angry about Trayvon.
Oh, that'll be funny.
What are they?
That will be. You know what I want to see? I want to see like a nude protest, a nude stone protest. Some hippie who shows her tits and like, "Well, I'm fighting the system," getting beaten the shit out of by some mahogany mob. Like, yeah, this is the world you created. Like this is the insanity that you perpetrated. You're welcome. I am hiding in a gated community with lots of guns.
That'd be so funny. I would just love to see all these white piece of shit hipsters protest fighting the system and then find themselves getting beat up by a bunch of racist black people and being like totally befuddled as to why this could be. Just thinking like, what? I'm on your side, I'm for you, man. totally oblivious. To like,
ever seen Fritz the Cat? Watch the Cat. It opens with three white chicks trying to hit on a black dude because they took Marxist studies and they empathized with black people's struggle. And the black dude just looks at them like they're the biggest idiots he's ever met. And then Fritz the Cat gets them drunk and has a threesome with them.
Well, that sounds like a real feminist piece right there. Yeah, you got it really increases my respect for women.
Oh, Lord. I really hope the Occupy picks up steam this summer again.
Well, I think it'll pick up steam if unemployment increases and the economy gets bad. Problem is that I think that this I thought that in when Obama got elected in 2008, 2009, that the economy hit rock bottom. Kind of, you know, you inflate the currency, that's kind of like taking a hit of crack to get you some energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not real substance, so you can only take so many quick hits of crack until you die, pass out, or whatever. And I don't think the economy has hit the point. I think the economy of the U.S. can take a few more hits of crack and keep going. I don't know at what point it'll stop. Basically, what happens is you get runaway inflation. That is, you expand the currency, and then inflation continues even when you no longer expand the currency. The currency just keeps on devaluing, even though the Fed isn't doing anything. That's when you have runaway inflation. That's basically when you no longer take any more hits. And I think the U.S. is unfortunately, a lot stronger, and is going to take a few more hits before it goes under.
Well, Captain Capitalism, with his tardy goodness, actually tracked, oh, I forget the variables. We'll have them next week, hopefully. But at the lowest point of the recession, you were getting accurate values on stock prices. For every dollar of dividends that a stock pays, historically the stock's been worth $15. And at the lowest point of the crisis, it was back down there. It's already up to $45 for $1 of dividends.
Mm-hmm.
And I read elsewhere that because when this whole thing went down and the banks were being bailed out, none of the banks wanted to admit that they had bad assets on their books.
Mm-hmm.
And so they juked around with actually repossessing homes because there's no way to buy the homes when they repossess them.
Right.
And so supposedly something like 30% of people that still have mortgages aren't able to pay those mortgages.
By the way, just a tip I picked up. You are in the U.S. in that situation and you're getting foreclosed on, here's a fun thing you can do. Demand that the bank produce the note, the actual mortgage note, before you move out.
You will.
Chances are they don't have it.
You'll get a phone call within a week offering a restructuring plan of how much you owe, if you do.
Yeah, yeah. Feel free to fuck with the bank like they fuck with you.
Yeah, it's corrupt from day one with the whole thing. And certainly you owe something on your house, but
yeah. That's
the whole point. If the housing market goes down and you can't pay, if you can't pay, they're better off getting something out of you than nothing.
Yeah.
And this is why bankruptcy exists.
Yeah.
You know, you can't squeeze blood out of a stone. If you turn somebody into a slave because of a debt they accrued, then they're never going to earn that much income. They're never going to be able to make you a profit. So we're better off with people declaring bankruptcy or renegotiating their loans.
Yep.
All right, well, we're just about out of time. Any last thoughts on Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, the horrid world that we live in?
I have no last thoughts. I have nothing to say.
I need several more drinks. That's my last thought.
All right.
I blame the world.
You know what? You got to laugh at it. As horrible and violent and bloody as things are going to get.
See, you always have something to say.
Well,
Irini always has something to say. I have something to say.
Well,
I think that you need to look at the world kind of as an outsider. Like imagine if you were zapped into the Middle Ages. You could get all depressed about how bad things are and how things aren't right. And if they only did this or that, it's so obvious. Why aren't they doing that? And you can get all mad. Or you can look at it kind of like a spectator and an archaeologist, and that makes you a lot more relaxed and just kind of, you know, go along, you know.
Well, I could do that, Ryan. Unfortunately, here in Ontario, we have statist control over our alcohol, and that depresses the shit out of me because, my God, do they squeeze your balls hard.
My goodness.
Really?
So one last
yes, thought. It is as horrible as you think it is. Really.
One last thought. Did Jane Goodall get upset and angry about the unjust politics within the chimpanzee troop she was a part of, embedded in?
Did she? I don't think so. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you gotta take life with a grain of salt. Have a laugh, these stupid monkeys murdering one another for the most ridiculous reasons imaginable.
Okay.
Anyway, it's been Lunatic Fringe Radio. Once again, thank you to Ryan Falk and Stanley Tweedle for joining me.
You're welcome. I think he's gone.
You both have it.
Cheers.
For powder dry.
This has been an episode of Lunatic Fringe Radio. Audio provided under the Creative Commons copyright from Zaypak. Their song Test Drive, which can be found at cmixter.org.